cliffcentral.com.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your man, G-Man, the ad man, and here we are once again. It's been another week of advertising. I've come to learn not to just say another week of good advertising because, you know, this thing does what it does, you know. It's been great. There's been some shocking ads that I've seen on TV, but once again, this is not the platform for us to bash people who make crap ads because shit ads happen to good people all the time. So, wow, some dope shit has happened in the past couple of days. How are the G-Man Hawks? Huh? How dope are those people? In fact, you know what? I wanna give a clap to the G-Man Hawks. That's what's up. Wasn't I the first person to tell you guys that something was about to drop? The Hawks came and told me that the Pretty Girl Sun was about to return to an agency of sorts, and you guys didn't know what I was talking about. And you know, because of the integrity of my sources, I had to hold back, and then the news came out. So yeah, I'm at Tilly, back at FCB. It's gone full circle, after all that time. So shout out, I'm at Tilly. That's what's up. He's back there in the capacity of chief creative officer, co-chief creative officer. I'm not really sure what that's gonna mean. I guess if Brett was the chief creative officer, so I guess he's going to be working next to him. So shout out Amit Tilly. That's dope. It's going to be interesting to see who's going to fill his shoes at Black River. That joint is an institution, and it's like one of those places that are synonymous with the face that you associate with it, which is Amit Tilly. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens out there. Who's going to go in there? Good luck to that person, because those are very big shoes to fill. What else has happened? So the brand of SA football. I mean, guys, you can't deny Mamelodi Sundowns, even if you want to, you know. And it's a tough thing for people like me to admit to, because, you know, as you know, I'm a Baganina through and through, and I had to watch that match where they actually lost the second leg, but they won the entire thing. But yeah, it's an amazing thing, and it's done amazing things, I think, for brand SA football. If you remember, the last time that a South African team won that championship was in 1995, and it was the mighty Orlando Pirates. Shout out to my Baganina. That's what's up. But you'll remember that at that time the brand SA Football literally blew up. We had like all these players who were now going overseas because you know we were African champs, and that actually the year after that, 1996, Bafana Bafana won the Africa Cup of Nations. So I think it's an amazing thing that what it does for the brand SA Football, you know, and it also augurs well for sponsorships. Players getting sold overseas, but now they're also going to go and play against those Chinese guys that Pirates played against, where they brought in a different team in the second half, and Pirates lost 5-0 because no one could tell that they were playing against a whole bunch of new guys. But that's not what we're talking about today. We have a dope show today. I've got in the studio, if you've been following on Twitter, if you've been following on Facebook, I told you guys from this morning that I'm hanging out with some guys that some of you might know. Some of you guys might have bumped into them in Bram, but Bram is also closed now, so you won't see them there. But you also might know them from these Twitter streets and from these Facebook streets, doing amazing things, guys, doing some awesome stuff. And it's going to be interesting because we're actually going to delve into, you know, exactly what makes these guys tick. You know, how do these guys find themselves being you know, these people? How did they arrive at being these amazing people that they are right now, that people all over the world are talking about? You know, when I first met these guys, I mean, they actually didn't have hair when I met them. And now, I mean, we've come a long way. They are tying buns. They are, you know, it's amazing. So, yeah, in the studio with me today, I see a different Jew. So I just want to say, yo, fellas, what's going on? What's going on, guys?
Hey, da hola.
Yeah, so in the studio, I've got with me Rendani Mukeli, Batwani Mukeli, and Neo Mashiko. What's going on, fellas? What's going on? What's up?
Oh, good, man.
Atiambi, man.
That template vendor is Neo. he just spoke all his vendor all at once. Finna catch a nosebleed from all that vendor he just spoke. Fellas, it's good to have you guys in the studio, man. So what did I pull you guys out of? What are you guys working on right now? What dope things are you guys up to right now? Anyone can take this, don't you?
Yeah, sure. We're just wrapping up a campaign for Macheo. Big one that we've done this year. It's looking amazing.
Oh, dope.
And we're busy with Black Label.
Unilever.
And Unilever. We're also wrapping up Unilever. We did a beautiful project to educate kids about hygiene and washing their hands in partnership with Lifebuoy. And...
Yeah. In partnership with Lifebuoy. That's the red soap that smells the whole day.
That kept us healthy and clean.
That's what's up. that's dope. But you know what I think a lot of people don't know, right? So you guys take all these amazing photos and really, really beautiful stuff, you know? And people don't realize that you guys are actually an entire creative services offering. Is that what it was called? Creative services offering or agency? What do you call yourselves? Are you guys an agency, an offering, Neil?
We call ourselves a production house first that offers creative services.
That's what's up. You can't expand on that. Is that production house? Beautiful. So you can't expand on that. I actually saw the Macheo thing. So you guys went all the way through the production. So you guys conceptualized that and shot the whole thing.
So a brief came to us. They wanted to tell stories that are true. So we were in collaboration with them, with the Hardy Boys and the brand.
All right, so it's in collaboration with their agency?
The agency and the brand.
So from a conceptual perspective?
So they came with the concept.
Ah, cool.
And we added to the concept. So we went out there and found stories.
Dope.
And collectively or together wrote the stories to make them what they are now.
Tell us more about the campaign. What is it? You say stories because I've only seen one. So what exactly is the basis of the campaign?
So the whole campaign covers four things.
Four stories.
Four stories. One is a guy who does parkour and he explains why he does parkour.
Right.
And
because he's a fool who wants to get injured.
I'm into parkour myself, so I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
And then we've got a female drummer that's so amazing. We tell her story, how she became a drummer that she is today.
Dope.
We've got a collective of what are the name?
Prime Obsessions.
Prime Obsessions.
That's right. What do they do?
So they thrift and
thrift.
Yeah, and they give old clothes a new life.
Yeah. Oh, that thing that happens in Prime, where people are smelling like mothballs. No.
What kind of clothes are you wearing, guys?
No. I'm not wearing thrift stuff, but I've been to Kishnas.
I've seen you on your Facebook wearing funky shades.
No. I've been to Kishnas, and the people out there can actually attest to this. If you've been to Kishnas, you smell thrift.
And you wrapped yourself around the mothballs from the bathrooms. That's what happens when you hang out in the bathrooms at Kishnas.
Let's correct the ad man here quick. I think the thing here is it's the same as you and your t-shirts you get from Yeye.
Okay.
Give them a new life. So that's the same thing.
Guys, I get the sense that shots have been fired, but I'm going to give you that one. Yeah. Oh, that's dope. Oh, that's really cool, yeah?
The fourth story is of a graffiti artist.
Okay, dope.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So guys, I mean, it feels like there's nothing you guys don't do. You know, what is it that you guys don't actually do? Because I know that, you know, I mean, you touched Innocent on how, you know, you're also now into parkour.
Yeah.
I've seen those slow-mo videos of yours on the internet doing backflips, and I worry for you. I want to take it a step back, you know. So how did you guys find yourself? I mean, you guys found yourself because you are twins, you know, so you always found yourself. But I also know that there's a guy who's not here, Vuyo Mbancha, who's not here. Yeah. Shout out Musvinjo. Once again, we are sorry that you're not here, but we know this happens. But tell us how did this collective get to be? You know, how did you guys arrive at, you know what, let's start doing cool shit?
I think we've always had this idea of who we are from a young age.
Yeah.
And then we met Neo, I think we're like 18 or somewhere there, and Neo saw the potential.
So in the 90s.
Yeah. then Neo saw a lot of potential in us that we never knew we had, and then he mentored us to be what we are today.
Yeah.
And then we kind of bought ourselves out of a 9-to-5 in advertising.
Right.
And started our own thing and tried to reach our dreams.
Yeah, you know,
and
that's dope shit.
Have
that's
fun
dope
while
shit.
We edit.
Yeah, I think Grant, as you would know, that like in the creative department, like most creatives sitting there wish they were doing other things.
That's right.
But the space, it's quite difficult to allow people not to be at work, like you've now, you know, doing this show.
That's what's up.
It should be something that is like understandable and like going, okay, it's actually a good thing that he also has a
that's
show.
That's right, that's right.
But like when you are in the creative department, it's like, it's something that's not,
you know,
it's not exciting news when your creatives want to be doing other things. So, but like for me, that meant that for me, I always was of the view that when people do other things that they love, then they can bring back to the work.
That's right.
You know,
right.
And so we thought that if we start our own thing and allow ourselves to follow through on our passion projects, and actually if we start a business, we'll be able to run and manage what we do with the income and how we can add to the country's greater story.
That's right.
Know?
That's right.
And hence I see a different you. And we're still looking to be doing more things.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool, because I think that, you know, you touch on a very, very important thing, and you know, you touch on, you know, me being here. I remember in the beginning of this thing, you know, I found it very strange that it baffled people why I wanted to do this and still be in advertising. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to the point that you make, that like, it's amazing that people don't realize that that's actually what fuels the stuff that you bring back to the studio.
Yeah.
You know? And I know that there's a lot of creators out there that have all these other passion projects on the side or whatever. I happen to know one lady who is actually at FCB now, who has this fashion thing. And she just usually just used to hit like walls. People going, yeah, but we are an art director. You know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? Whereas I feel like agencies should be actually recognizing the fact that, you know, the creative economy has changed completely, you know? And what you guys have done is what I know a lot of creators out there are going, damn it, how can I find the time to do that? But it obviously also takes, you know, a certain level of balls.
Yeah. You know?
A certain level of balls and fighting amongst each other.
Yeah.
But yeah. And now calling you to order every day.
Yeah. But yeah, let's chat about that, because I want to understand the dynamic, you know. So for those of you guys who might not recognize, well, if you don't recognize Neo's voice, then maybe you just started in advertising today, or you just have not been concentrating. So Neo also used to be was previously the chairman of the Lurie's, and has been executive creative director at Ogilvy, executive creative director at FCB. No, like to go from that, right? And I mean, you had networking all those places before that. To go from that and now to make this change into this new living, right?
Exciting shit, man. Exciting shit.
But is it because you had enough of the norm, or is it because you think that there's another way of doing it? What reasoning? What brought you to that decision?
Yeah, no. Being, you know,
but
like,
you were the advertising high life, Papa. Chairman.
Yeah, you know, you can toy around with ideas on paper, and you can talk about ideas in the boardroom, but until it's either you're gonna do it where you are, or you're gonna do it somewhere else.
That's right.
And until you do it, like, it's still theory, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, even for us, we're still testing a lot of things. You know, some things work, some things don't work. But I was like, I think I was a bit tired and frustrated of feeling like, because there's no evidence of it working,
that's right,
therefore people can get away with going, no, but we're gonna lose people, we won't be able to keep the creatives, but they're gonna go away. But like, if they go away, they can come back, we can work with them, we can collaborate,
right,
you know. So for me, it was, we had to go out and test it.
Yeah.
And it is tough. It's just as tough as being an ECD, but now at least we trying out something new and trying out something for ourselves, and hopefully it works out, you know.
That's
so
dope.
And if what's surprising is, for me, you know, when you're working for a big agency, you always think that when you leave, your life won't be the same. You won't get the money, you won't get the jobs, you won't, you know. But it's surprising that
that you have the money.
The money. Here's what I know. Here's what I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, even, the money. Yeah.
Even in advertising, I was still looking for the money. Yeah. You know, I saw people with the money.
Yeah.
But I just didn't have it, and I didn't understand it. You know, when I was a copywriter, yeah. when I looked at an ECD,
the man had money.
You know, and most of the time they even had like their names and the doors of, of agencies and stuff.
Yeah.
But I just didn't have the money.
Yeah.
And but one thing certain. No, here's what's happening. It's definitely coming.
Yeah. No, no, I like
it. It's definitely coming. You know, it might not be here today.
Yeah.
But I have no doubt in my mind
that the money is coming.
It's coming.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Guys, I mean, have no doubt the money is coming. So remember, guys, I'm chatting to the guys from I See a Different Jew. Hit us up, hit me up on Twitter to ask me some questions. If you have comments for the guys, anything you want to ask the guys, that's at Blaxcm, at BLAXCM on Twitter. But yeah, guys, I mean, you know, the money conversation, we're going to revisit that conversation.
No, it's fine. What you have to understand is when you take like these ballsy moves, you have to like start by cutting your salary.
That's
by,
right.
By like
a lot.
50%, 60%. Yeah. And like you readjust your life, you know? That's how serious you are about money.
Yeah,
you start invest.
Going, you start going to Bram just twice as opposed to four times.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, I don't do Bram.
Yeah. No. But these other guys, we all know. So
now these guys didn't cut no salary.
So it doesn't
tell. The cheese up.
So tell me about the name, guys. Tell me about how did you guys arrive at the name?
Yeah.
I See a Different Jew. You know, it feels like, you know, there's a lot of poetry in there, but it's also like, you know, it feels like there was weed involved.
No. There's no weed and booze involved.
Okay, cool.
So, how we arrived, we obviously started this project from a place of wanting to see where we are from different.
Yeah.
You know, we wanted to tell a positive story.
Yeah.
And there was enough negative. Yeah. And collectively, and looking at ourselves and all our friends and our upbringing, like the previous song, Sikero Fabulous, you know,
that's
it's nice,
up.
You know,
that's
so we're like, okay, how can we distill this project or this idea that we want to do?
Yeah.
We said because we want to start in a Soweto, we kind of wanted to see different. We wanted to say, we came to I See a Different You because we personified it.
That's
you know,
right.
Our experience and our outlook and our experiences were different to how everyone was saying we are experiencing
That's
it
right.
or how they were experiencing it, especially people that were not from the hood.
Yeah.
So,
and gotcha. it's also from a point where telling your own story.
Yeah.
Because the media will always tell you that 1976.
Yeah. That's all we are. All we are is 76 and
crime, thugs, poverty.
Yeah.
It's not just that. We're from there. We looked at ourselves and we're like, we are not poor. We are not hungry.
The money.
We are
not,
you know, we're having fun. We skate. There's
That's
love.
Right.
There's talent.
Yeah.
We need to show that. We need to change the perspective and preserve our heritage.
That's
you know?
Really dope. That's really dope. I like
we,
that.
We say we from the creative streets of Soweto, not the dusty streets.
Exactly.
That's what's up. That's
you'll,
what's up.
You'll see the dust.
Yeah.
The dust.
Yeah.
No dust in my life.
No.
That's dope. I like that because, you know, and you guys obviously started with photography, and then that obviously, you know, became fanned out into other things.
Yeah.
But I mean, were you guys into photography while you guys were in advertising? Did I see a different you start when you guys were, you know, working with Mr. J, you know, you know, getting different perspectives? You know what I mean?
So how it all started was yes, we were working at FCB,
That's
and
right.
then myself and Innocent went on a Coca-Cola project, and we went to Kenya, and once we were there, we like saw like a different Kenya to what we were expecting.
Yeah.
You know, so what we were like, what we didn't like about how people saw us, we saw it in ourselves on like how our perception about other countries are also like what
just
like
exactly.
You know, so And we made it a point that, okay, so we shared the photos with Voyo and Innocent to go look at, check out how cool these guys are.
That's right.
You know, and we didn't imagine seeing those such cool people in Kenya.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then for us, that resonated with a conversation we've been having about Soweto to go, guys, you know, in advertising, how black people are presented, how when you're looking for an image on the internet of black people, the kind of stuff that comes up. And we decided there and then that, okay.
That's not fake as, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's all we are. All we are is kids with snot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we decided that, okay, now we're going to take these photos and show the different side.
That's
and
right.
How we see it.
Yeah.
And it was like just one of those passion projects.
That's dope.
And then from there on, it grew into something much bigger.
Okay, dope. Check this out. I have a question here from the guys at Book of Swag. Shout out, Book of Swag. What's going on?
Hola.
And the thing, please ask us here a different dude. When did Neo Mashego decide to join the trio? Was he always on board silent?
So, you know,
was he always open?
He's always been there from day one.
Yeah.
Just that we decided that we'll make
but he can't take
faces.
Photos. So.
No, he definitely can. Oh. He can
no, I'm not a model. Yeah. You know, I just didn't have that. You know, I think if I was part of the models, this thing would have been a different thing. We would be seeing a different something.
So, you know, to add to that, I think we our upbringing is advertising, and advertising has harsh rules.
Yeah.
You know, as an art director, things needs to work a certain way. Neo is a good writer, you know, and you know, visually, we were more
stronger
in that regard.
Hey. What's your words you use? We were more what?
Hey. After this thing is gonna be a hearing.
I promise you, I can kill Justice on that direction.
Is it?
Never.
I bomb his shit every day, and I tell him why I'm bombing.
And he knows.
And he knows.
Oh man, that's dope. I mean, you know, from the time when we were all at FCB, I mean, to kind of where you guys are right now.
Mm.
I mean, you guys have grown in leaps and bounds, dude. I mean. You guys have had exhibitions around the world.
Yes.
You know, you guys have gone on trips around the world and brands have asked you guys to come on board and you guys have just done some really, really dope work for Levi's.
Yeah.
For you guys out there who haven't seen that stuff is dope shit.
Sure. Thanks.
But I want to talk about that first, well, I don't know if it was the first one, but the project you guys did in Japan.
Yeah.
Because I've seen the, you know, there's the short, like a 10-minute short.
Yeah, yeah.
If you guys haven't seen it, go on YouTube and check it out. It's a really, really dope thing. Tell us about that. I mean, how did that even come about? You know, how do you end up exhibiting to Japanese people?
So, Diesel picked us up 3 months down the line.
He's a blasé, nigga. Diesel came and picked us up.
No, in a way. So they saw the project. They were really interested. So
they'd seen the work that you guys had done before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they wanted to collaborate with us on Diesel plus Eden.
Right.
Eden is another brand owned by Bono's wife.
That's right.
And then they took us to Senegal to shoot with them the whole campaign. And then they selected 10 talented African creatives, and we were part of them. And then after when they launched the project, they wanted us to give us exposure and link us with the Diesel network. So they took us to Japan for the first time to do an exhibition in the Diesel Gallery.
Okay.
And then, from there, it was the, what do you call
we
it?
We did
the
a Euro
point.
Tour.
Yeah, it was our tipping point.
Yeah.
We got exposure all over the world through that project, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And
touching Japanese girls. That's what, exposure. So the kids are calling it pictures. We got exposure.
So, and part of that project was one of the things that like led to like the friction in the agency.
That's right.
Yes.
So I was like ECD at the time and they were part of the team. And so being the silent partner, because like I couldn't go and like back this fully and expose it to everyone.
That's right.
Because I was like also involved with a lot of other brands within the agency.
That's
so
right.
The guys were like would represent, but still the agency had like some issues with like a 1 week leave. And then you come back, you're working for 3 weeks and then you're asking for another week. And then it moved from there to like unpaid leave.
Yeah.
And it started to be like, no, we don't mind not getting paid. Just let's just do this thing, you know.
Hey, and those things, they confuse people because they're not sure why. Anyway, check us out, guys. So I'm still hanging out with Book. I'm still hanging out with, I see a different you. These Book of Swag guys are sending me questions and questions.
Yeah, Book of Swag. Yeah, yes, I was always a silent partner, man.
Yeah. But yeah, so we're still hanging out with the guys. I'm going to go to an ad break for a little bit because, you know, Gareth Cliff also wants us to pay the bills, yeah? So I'm going to go on an ad break. I'm going to play a track. And when we come back, I want us to just, you know, delve into these things that I know a bunch of people out there are battling with, from entrepreneurs in this ad game to the people who are still in studios. I want us to just get into, we're going to get into it. You're still hanging out with G-Man, the ad man. Hit me up on Twitter with your questions for the guys, at BLAXEM. I'm going to go to an ad break, and then Michael, babes, is going to just say something for us, and then we'll be back. Boom.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. Auto Trader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. Auto Trader New Car. The choice is yours.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agents. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
Yeah. That was Babes. Babes Otumo. Mainstay on this show. I was very disappointed by her performance at the Mamas. I say disappointed because I actually didn't watch it, but everybody else around me was very disappointed. But you know, my faith and love for Babes stay strong. So I know we will bounce back as a team, me and Babes. We're back. I'm still hanging out with the guys from I See a Different Jew. I'm with Patwani Mukeli, Rendani Mukeli, and Neo Mashego hanging out. And Vuyo Mpacha is not here. Once again,
he's here in spirit.
But he's here with us in spirit.
Working hard. Yeah. Somebody's got to do the job.
And we're talking all things advertising and all things, you know. In fact, advertising is simplifying it. You know, and I feel like there's a lot of guys out there who've we've all just started going, maybe advertising isn't what we do, you know. And the best part is when you hear clients come to us and say, you know, we're also dealing with this content, guys. And you go, but hold on, how do you guys have a content guy and an ad agency? You know what I mean? So yeah. I think it's cool that a lot of us are at the place where we're going, maybe we've all just become, you know, we've always been consummate creatives, and it's time that we all tap into that. So one of the questions that the guys from Book of Swag, like I said, they're sending me a question on question. They say, what kind of advice would you guys give to young entrepreneurial creatives who have great but scary ideas? How would you advise them into taking those into boardrooms and then also with making the real money? Yeah.
That's the one Neo is going to answer.
I don't know about making real money. Yeah. I think if you've got something unique and something unique to sell and people appreciate it and buy into it, I think then it starts making money.
That's right.
Whether it becomes real or not and how long it takes, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think if you've got something new to offer and something different, you know, like my biggest example and the where I draw inspiration from, it's Kwaito musicians.
That's what's up.
You know, Kwaito musicians never ask for permission.
Yeah.
You know, they never ask for permission whether this thing is right, whether this sound right. He had a studio, he had a back room, he had a beat, he had a vocals. He laid them down and released them. If people appreciate them, they appreciate them, they buy them.
More often than not, they didn't wait to have two tracks.
Yeah.
They would make one track and there'd be six tracks on the CD. the guys remix.
Yeah.
Instrumental.
Yeah.
Them two remix.
Yes. Yeah. And I think for me that it's a good example of what creatives need to do. It's like most of the time we hold on to our ideas for too long, trying to perfect them, trying to get them right.
Yeah.
And that chows the energy out of them, you know, and release them. Like ideas are always there.
That's
you know,
right.
You release this one, it doesn't work or it works. Works, you'll have another one. Boom. Release it, you know. Boom. And that's the difficult space in agencies, is that there is no room for failure. There is no room to test out stuff. There's, you know, like everything, you want it to be perfect. But it's so weird that it's never perfect.
That's right.
Most of the time when you use all the science in making an ad, it's never perfect. Never perfect. Yeah. It's actually usually shit. And the work, when you follow the story of the work, that becomes brilliant. Like the story, the process was very simple. Yeah. Like you, it's either you had a client that believed in the agency and the process that said, like, guys, do what you do. Yeah. And then, you know, there was a freedom in within the building, the strategy.
Shout out Freedom
Masiba. Yeah. 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 Ah, you remind me of an Ed Hughes once.
So, for me,
that's the big deal. You know, just get your stuff out there and like and see how people receive it.
Dope. So I mean, you touched on something. There's something that I've always, you know, been curious about, especially because now you guys are on, you know, the other side where you collaborate with agencies a lot now.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know Rendani, you do a lot of like the directing stuff work as well.
Yeah.
How difficult or easy has it been now that, you know, your people who come from agencies and now you collaborate with agency people, you know, now you walk into the door, right?
Yeah.
How easy has that been or difficult? Yeah. You know, because now you find a creative on that side and says, but this guy.
Yeah. Well, it hasn't been easy. Yeah. But I think the thing that made it doable is the passion.
That's right.
You know, so getting into the door and presenting, it's tough. You have to have your A game. You have to know what you are presenting back to back.
That's right.
You know, and there's no cutting corners, because if you cut corners, they hit you with the question and you start mumbling then.
Yeah.
Your whole pitch is down.
But do you find that you go through more hoops purely because people go, you used to be in advertising, and then also like people must also go, but you guys are also just the photography trio. What the hell are you guys talking about? You're going to direct the TV ad. Do you find that a lot?
It's like anything you do, you have to prove yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the creative process is the same whether we are out. The only big difference for us is, so when you collaborating, it depends on who you're working with.
That's right.
And what's their approach.
Yeah.
People who call you because they like what you do and they think you can deliver on this already believe in you.
That's right.
So their attitude is different. And then people that like are forced, maybe somebody else said, no, use these guys.
Yeah.
Or it comes from a client or somebody. They don't trust you for shit.
That's right.
Especially being black. The biggest learning for me has been, hey, no one trusts black people.
Yeah. But not even black people.
No one trusts
black people.
And you know, it's a very strange thing, because when I was at a particular agency, I remember you, when you guys just, you know, started putting this stuff together, and I said, fine, we got this shoot that I want to do with the guys, and out of nowhere, it's Khama, you know, because purely because they can say things like, but the guys don't have formal photography training.
Yeah.
I don't know if, and I'm like, but dude, you know that we're constantly huddled around computers looking at these guys working. All of us are saying it's dope. Yeah. But now that I'm saying that it's a job that we need to pay them for, all of a sudden it's, I don't know. Yeah. That alone must have been like a big thing to deal with up front.
Is the image high res enough? Do you have proper equipment?
All you're kidding
things,
me.
But we have all the hustle plots, the D810s, all those things, we have them.
Wait, hold on, question
quality.
People ask you if the image is high res enough.
Yeah, and it's a 700 meg file. And the other thing,
most agencies are referencing our work and briefing white photographers to shoot things that should look like what we shot.
How
does that
me?
Make sense?
Yeah. I think for me, it's
it's a
challenge that any business faces, you know.
Yeah.
But like this one is particular because once people are referencing your style and like using your work for presentations, any pitch you go to, it's our work in that pitch.
Ask but anybody nobody... who's been in a presentation in the past 2 years.
Yeah. And it's been a brilliant marketing tool for us as well. That's how
right.
we get jobs as well.
Yeah.
You know, as much as some people don't give us the work, some people do give us the work.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very interesting that we get most work from people who don't know us that much. You know,
that's right.
You would think that
the people you worked with
would give you the work. It's just like how I see it different. You blew up. It blew up internationally first, and then South Africa only came After other people, like that, the rest of Europe, basically.
Yeah. That is a special level of bullshit. Yeah.
And I think it's just the way it is. You know? What is very challenging is when you can feel that you're being treated differently.
That's right.
You know, and you can't do anything about it, but like just take it and like prove yourself and deliver. You know, and you constantly have to be up in your game and delivering.
Yeah, and it's also strange, especially, you know, because you and I we've all been on the other side.
Yeah.
So you know for a fact when you're being treated differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're going, ah, my man, Siras, is that really what
is
you want to ask
you
right
asking
now?
Me. Yeah. Yeah. Again, for the third time.
Oh no, these guys are way too expensive.
Oh,
but
really?
Some guy will come through with a quote, double the amount of.
And they'll run with that.
Yeah. No, they say we are expensive, but they didn't ask for a quote.
Yeah.
So expensive drunks.
So like you'd bump into someone, a creative, telling, no, we tried to brief you guys on a job and production told us that you guys were very expensive.
But nobody's asking
and like,
for a
yeah,
quote.
What job is this? We've never received any quote. Like it's so bad that it's like even with people you know, like I'd pick up the phone and call the person and say, hey, apparently this job and this thing. And this person tells you a story about how expensive you are. And you're like, but I never got the brief. What's, you know?
Love that. I love this age-old conversation about the gatekeepers of creative being people in production.
Yeah.
I love it. It's so cool. From back amazing. In the day, it's amazing. I love it. It's great. It makes me smile. You know, like from back in the day, you would hear, and it happened a lot with black directors. Mm, it still happens a lot with black directors.
Yeah,
where you bump into someone and you say, "Dude, I've been trying to brief you on this job, but I heard that you are busy."
Yeah.
And he says, "Busy where?"
Because I haven't with had a brief
exactly.
in like 3 months.
Yeah. Because there's some person at production who just kind of says, no, that guy is busy, hey? Because they decide they know. Dude, there was one production person from some agency that I used to work at. Literally every type of job, right? Whether it's a comedy job, whether it's a heartfelt job, one name.
Yeah.
One name, every time. Guys, he's great, eh?
Yeah.
This is your guy. And you're like, guys, wait a minute. Are there no other people? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's because of that. It's because they're gatekeepers.
Yeah, but I've had fights in agencies.
I think it's
to
secret
get
handshakes.
To,
hey!
Golden envelope.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
That golden envelope.
That's insane. So tell me, guys, when it comes to collaborating now with other collectives, because, I mean, there's obviously a whole bunch of smaller agencies that have come up, you know, that have popped up, you know, because black people are tired. So I think that, So how have you guys found collaborating with the smaller agencies and do you guys also come in from a conceptual space? You know what I mean? So do you guys come in and say, well, guys, you guys have this brief, and guys call you in because they know what you guys can do?
Yeah, we prefer those kind of jobs because at least that way you also like contributing to the process, you know. Like when we're working with like brands like Levi's, we've just done a campaign with Omega Shoes where we collaborate and
Cheza wears Omega Shoes. Shout out Cheza.
And then we've got people that we have good relationships with, like Veve, like at Unilever.
Yeah.
It's like so once you get in, you get the brief and you look at what the challenge is, and like for us, because having the advertising background, it becomes much easier. And where I think we even can come in strongly is with agencies that are like particularly white.
That's right.
And want to, like, they want ways of like getting the work
mass market.
The work right, you
yes.
know. So you can go contribute, like, but I have to personally figure out if so that I don't step on toes,
because
like my ECD hat is always on, you know.
That must
so
be tough,
like sometimes I'm like going, oh my god, you know, I would have bombed that, you know? And I found a way of like opening that door to say, would you appreciate it if we contribute in this way and that way?
So you've had to learn a few euphemisms, you know. Saying, you know what we think, maybe let's start again. Now, I mean, I imagine that must be difficult for you know, because essentially you walk in and you come in from a supplier perspective, in inverted commas, but you also come in as a creative.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So now you look at this thing, you're like, oh, so you guys want me to shoot a gaga? That's really cool, man. I think you guys are doing stuff that's inspiring a whole lot of cats out there, you know. I just got another tweet that just says, with everything said, big shout out to those cats for putting the work in and inspiring a culture.
Well,
thanks to, they do see a different we. The English also just broke there for a second. I don't think we get the gist of what Twice is trying to say in there. But how have you guys dealt with that? You know, like I mean, there must be a pressure that comes with like people going, "Fuck it, man, you guys are the pioneers of this thing." You know, because you know, in all honesty, as we talk about it, it's also very clear that you guys did this thing that we are all doing now. You guys did a while back.
Yeah, you know.
And there must be a pressure that comes with that. Are there any other like younger guys or guys on the come up that you guys are helping or can help on the come up as well in order to get them to the place that you're at? Are there any initiatives that you guys are involved with that are helping, you know, bring the game up?
I think we are quite open to collaborate with younger guys that are talented.
Yeah.
We take on different DOPs. We took on interns to help us with production.
That's dope.
You know, I mean, we are open, I think.
And basically, I get emails all the time from different people, like asking for advice on basic things on how to do things and how they can approach stuff. Yeah. And I'm like open with those things. If I've got the idea and I can help you, I'll do it. And if especially the very big challenge is the time factor.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, we are a small team and we're busy and we like having like planning sessions on like how to improve ourselves.
That's right.
Basically, like just like look back at work and go, how could we have done this better?
That's dope.
Where do we need to fix things? And what's the next game plan? You know,
That's
so like right now we're spending a lot of time trying to figure out the next game plan. And also working with agencies on helping them on inspiring their creatives and like trying to manage that space. You know,
that is I had so like dope, man.
Last week Friday.
That is so dope. I like that.
I went down to Cape Town with an agency where we were like discussing on how to help the agency creative culture, the creatives within the agency, how to like allow them that space and like try and make sense out of this thing.
That is dope,
and,
man.
I realized that when you're working from outside, people hear you more than
That's
being
right.
inside,
I,
you know,
I
at an agency.
Consultant.
Yeah. So, and then also like getting younger people who are not traditionally trained in advertising, who are like hip hop acts,
right.
And how to pull those talents into the industry and how to like shape a program like that. You know, like how a lot of people came into the people that are in our circles came into the industry. You know, it's like there's like ways of doing it, but like it's difficult, but you need to allow a space and the whole organization needs to buy into the idea.
I like that.
So those are the kind of things we do as well. We give talks. Different countries.
Talks,
on like just how
speakers.
How creative.
Yeah, in a sense. No, guys, I think that's really dope. And I think you guys are doing a very important job, you know, because you know, like we've been in those studios where you kind of feel like, damn it.
Yeah.
Like, where to from now, you know? And and I remember there was a time when I used to make people realize that there were so many ads on TV that were set in an office. You know, because that's all people knew. That's all creators knew.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So every ad that you saw was, we open on an office. We open at a water cooler. You know, we open in an elevator. And you're like, oh, guys, is that really all we do?
Yes.
You know, until you realize that it's because all these creatives spend most of the time in very uninspiring spaces, they're asked to come up with the stuff that makes people feel like, wow, that's a dope piece of work.
And we go to the same spaces for inspiration.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it, right?
Yeah. And we come from like similar backgrounds.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, like majority of a creative studio, if you ask the people in the studio,
they come from similar spaces.
Yeah, the background is like very similar. So the work also will feel the same.
Yeah,
you know how
because the influences are the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's take a young step back to the money. So if you you speak about collaborating with agencies, right?
Yeah.
Is it a part of the plan that eventually one day Martin Sorrell is going to knock on your door and say, guys, I need you now to is that a part of the plan to eventually, if an agency came to you guys and said, guys, we need you now to essentially become to become a wing of, you know, Blue Crayons advertising, you know, is that something that you guys would be open to?
We would be open to it, but it's not part of the plan yet. You know, like for those things to happen, you need, they need to go. Firstly, one of the calls that we've currently made is like we don't have retainer clients. Purely because once you have a retainer client, that means you belong to them.
So you made a conscious call to not have retainer clients.
Yeah. Yes. And it's a
slavery is gonna die. one preferred time.
So because then we'll just all we'll be doing is working on that account and that's working right. for that client.
That's interesting.
We'd rather work with different clients on different projects so that we also don't find ourselves in the space where we ran away from.
That's right.
But going forward into the future, you're getting like very interesting clients who are looking for different ways of marketing.
Yeah.
And you'll find that there might be a client out there where we are aligned strategically on how we want to do things.
That's right.
And we'd like to see us growing and getting more creatives who do different things and who will come and inject into ways and new fresher ways. You know? Because the wave is, you know, flowing, man.
Mm. That's so dope, man. Yeah. Hey, you guys, man. So all the money is coming. In fact, the money is imminent. So you know.
Not according to our bank, FNB. They're not interested.
So they don't care for us.
So I mean, guys, you know, I think it always amazes me, one, how quickly this hour flies by, because we're almost done. And I feel like there's a whole bunch of people out there who are inspired by everything that you guys do. Yeah. So big up on that. So really, really quickly, you know, just like, you know, 30 seconds from each one of you guys.
Okay.
If there's anything that you would want, you know, some kid, if there's one kid from Pimville, or where Cheza's from, you know, who's listening out there, if there's one thing that you want them to take away from how you guys have done stuff, you know, in 30 seconds, how would you tell them, how would you inspire some kid out there?
The best thing is always remain your mother's child.
That's
don't change, because if you are always your mother's child, you can't be arrogant, you can't be changed by anything, even the monies or whatever fame that comes to you.
That's what's up.
And also, they must look out for the things we are about to do. We wanna be doing movies, some sort of Game of Thrones of Africa.
There we go.
And our music is out. We'll be dropping an album soon.
Yeah.
And just stay inspired and don't be afraid to knock and ask for any help for anything.
That's dope. I like that. Look at you, in a sense. I like that shit, man. That's dope. Game of Thrones of Africa. That excites me. I like that. Yeah. No.
Yeah. I'd say be true to yourself, you know, like try understand yourself and like live your true self, you know, understand what are the things that drive you? What do you want to do? Because like I think we are all here to contribute something to this earth and like leave a part of us, you know.
Right.
And most of the time we are afraid to show up, you know, and be who we are. So I think like believe in yourself and like go for that thing, and like you'd be much happier when you do the things you love, you know, like instinctively. Yeah. Even for us, there's things that we say yes to, but we know we should have said no.
That's what's up.
But once you are in that thing, you know why you should have said no. And it's always painful. And the things that you naturally say yes to, like they go like, we don't have a budget, but this, but you're like going, this project is like so us.
I'll need to
and you just do it. Yeah.
That's dope.
So like, stay true to yourself.
I like that.
Cool.
Warchild?
Anyway, Warchild is a small film that we directed.
That's what's up.
Yeah,
see, anyway. I'll plug you for you plug you, son.
So my simple words are, if you want to do something or if you want to be great, you must always remember that Africa is the source of inspiration to the rest of the world.
That's what's up.
Then your approach.
You guys heard that, right? Come on.
Your approach to your dreams must be global, because as an African, you are global already.
Damn it.
And your dreams are valid.
Father God.
Guys.
Hello.
Guys, where?
Blood of Zachariah.
Where are you guys based and what vegetables are you guys eating? That is some sage shit, man. That is some really sage shit. Guys, I think that's fucking fantastic. I think you guys are going to keep inspiring people for quite a while. And I would love to be at the premiere of this Game of Thrones Africa. also, you know, my acting talents, you know.
Yeah.
But I think guys, I know there's you guys are doing other things, but once again, the hour doesn't allow us. Yeah. But very quickly now, tell us about the music project that you guys are working on.
Yeah.
So our music is coming out. We were holding back for a long time because we're trying to avoid doing too many things.
That's right.
But like these songs just wanted to come out.
That's right.
So we've just released one, and there'll be like three more following up in the next couple of weeks. We just want to get this one out there. But like, there's like Killer Babes,
yeah.
Watch out. They ain't got nothing on us.
To hear our song, you can find it on SoundCloud.
What's it called?
It's called I Ain't Giving Up. And
it's by I See a Different You.
It's by I See a Different You. SoundCloud, Google I See a Different You. On Instagram, look for I See a Different You.
Right.
It will be on the link.
Dope.
On the bio.
Yeah.
And Twitter, it's on the bio everywhere.
Excellent.
But shout out to the advertising industry for giving everyone an opportunity. Like, there's a whole lot of you guys out there.
Yeah.
Grant Stolle, Sbusiso. Yeah. You know, like Kamo and Marcus. There's a whole lot of people that grew up in this industry that are doing amazing things.
Dope shit. Dope shit. Yeah. Guys, we're completely out of time now. You guys are going
to
get me fired.
That's an odd number.
But guys, I want to say thanks once again to you guys out there. Hope you're inspired by these cats. It's been another hour that flew by. Hopefully, I'm hoping that when Gareth listens to this podcast, he gives us another hour. But at the same time, guys, once again, have yourself an amazing advertising week. We'll be back again next week. But at the same time, listen to the podcast. Download it. We didn't swear too much, so you can pay it for your moms. And then at the same time, remember that thing that I always say to you guys. If the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. It's G-Man the Ad Man. Out. Boom.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agents. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-Man the Ad Man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com. cliffcentral.com.